This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, November 8th, 2013. I'm Caleb Brown. Several individual cities have legalized marijuana. Colorado has imposed a new tax on the drug. Dan Riffel, Director of Federal Policies at the Marijuana Policy Project, will discuss that and the likelihood that D.C. will soon join the ranks of areas that have legalized marijuana.
In the city of Portland, voters in Portland, Maine, voted to decriminalize up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana, so there'll be no more penalties, at least under city of Portland law, for possession of up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana. However, the police chief in the city of Portland has already said he's going to essentially bypass the voters and continue to enforce state law on the matter. Now, Maine has decriminalized possession of marijuana by the state, but there's still a $100 fine, whereas the penalty in Portland actually is zero. There is no penalty. It's completely legal under the city of Portland under the initiative that just passed. But we'll see how the initiative is enforced there and whether the police chief in Portland actually continues to issue citations to marijuana users. Around the rest of the country, three suburban cities in Michigan outside of Detroit. Ferndale was one, a couple others in Michigan. Also decriminalized possession of marijuana, and by decriminalized here, I mean, again, removed all penalties for possession of marijuana. And then maybe the biggest one is in Colorado. Voters passed Proposition AA, which puts a 15% excise tax on wholesale sales of marijuana, as well as a 10% sales tax on the sales of marijuana to consumers in Colorado. There were a number of localities, Denver was one of them, who also passed additional taxes in Colorado on sales of marijuana, and those will be used to fund regulatory enforcement of the program there in Colorado.
So what has driven cities to sort of want to jump in? I mean, cities exist at the pleasure of states. Mm-hmm. What has driven cities really to jump in here and get out ahead in terms of legalizing marijuana or decriminalizing marijuana?
So I think as the action of the sheriff or the police chief in Portland shows, these municipal elections and municipal initiatives are largely symbolic, but symbolic victories are still victories nonetheless. What you often see is state legislators around a state saying, well, marijuana penalties and legalizing marijuana, I'm not going to do that because I'll, lose an election. I'm not going to do that because my constituents don't want that. And what we can do with these, municipal elections is show, particularly in an off-year election like this where, maybe organizations like MPP and other organizations don't want to invest a great deal of money in a statewide initiative. We might want to wait until 2014 or even better, 2016. In the down years and the off years like this, we can use these municipal elections to show legislators and elected officials, look, this is something that, people in your state, people in your district support.
So in Portland, this was this the easternmost city in the United States to actually legalize marijuana?
This is the first election on the East Coast where voters have chosen to legalize marijuana, and we got almost 70% of the vote in Portland. So this wasn't even a close decision. I mean, it was an overwhelming landslide victory.
Okay. Now, with respect to these suburbs, suburban Detroit, mm-hmm. essentially, what are the dynamics at work there that made that happen?
Well, it's all over Michigan. And this year there were three cities in Michigan that voted for this. But I think over the last six or so years, we've had maybe 12 cities in Michigan that have voted on these. City of Lansing actually was one of the ones who voted this year. Ann Arbor, Livonia, Ferndale. There's been a number of cities around the state that have passed these initiatives. And, again, same deal. They just show to legislators in the state that people are tired of marijuana prohibition. They're tired of seeing law enforcement resources used to arrest and prosecute people for possession of something that's safer than alcohol. They'd rather see those law enforcement resources used to, prevent and solve real crimes and go after real threats to public safety.
Now given the strains on budgets mm-hmm. in the Detroit area, was that at all part of the decision by these towns to move ahead?
Yeah, and not just in Detroit, but around the country. There's a lot of cities and states that are cash-strapped that are, looking to cut back in their budgets, tighten the belt, we always hear. And this is one way that, we've been wasting billions of dollars over the years arresting and prosecuting people for marijuana possession. And there's just, smarter things that we can be doing with that money, not only with that money that we're using, but we could also be raising revenue, as the voters in Colorado showed with their passage of the tax measure there.
With respect to the Colorado tax that has been imposed, Jeff Myron, a researcher here at the Cato Institute, has looked at sort of the impact of ending the drug war broadly, more specifically with marijuana. But he says a lot of these revenue claims that have been made about marijuana at the state level are probably overstated, at least by the people who are promoting legalization. Do you think that's fair?
Well, I'll say this, two things. Number one, revenue should not be the determining factor in making marijuana legal. It should be looked at as icing on the cake. It's just silly to be using law enforcement resources to arrest and prosecute people for this. It's silly to drive people to drink when there's a substance like marijuana that's much safer than alcohol. It's silly to have all of this revenue accrue to Mexican drug cartels and criminals rather than to legitimate, licensed, tax-paying, law-abiding businesses. And those are all the real reasons why I think marijuana should be taxed and regulated like alcohol. The fact that, you know, cities and states may be able to make a little bit of revenue off of it, again, should just be looked at as icing on the cake. And with respect to, you know, the amount of revenue that people should be able to expect, you know, I think one of the keys is to make sure that tax rates are variable, because it's going to take us some time to determine what is the right, you know, the Goldilocks tax rate that we need that's low enough that we can undercut the black market and put the black market out of business, but high enough that we can pay for, you know, enforcement of, you know, marijuana regulations without, you know, sending people back to the black market.
President Obama, Eric Holder obviously have been paying attention to the changes that we've seen. Does this election tell them in more clear terms what their marching orders ought to be with respect to having the feds enforcing federal law in the states that have legalized or decriminalized marijuana?
Yeah, I think it does sort of confirm their suspicions that, you know, this is something that's happening, that the American people are ready for it. I think the Gallup poll confirms that as well. I think another, you know, in terms of federal policy, another interesting development is what's happening here in D.C., where the D.C. Council has introduced a bill to decriminalize possession of marijuana. Mayor Vince Gray here in D.C. endorsed that a couple of weeks ago. You know, what's interesting, in 1998, voters in D.C. passed a medical marijuana initiative, and Congress, which actually controls the budgeting process here in D.C., used that budgeting process to block implementation of that medical marijuana law, essentially overturned it for a period of about 11 years until that was repealed in 2009. This, you know, decriminalization measure has been moving through in D.C., and we haven't heard a peep out of anybody in Congress about it. There's no reason to suspect that Congress is going to do anything about it, that there'll be a, you know, another bar amendment type, you know, measure used to block implementation here. Because again, you know, whether it's people in D.C. Council or people in Congress, they're starting to get it. They understand that this is a popular mainstream position and that most Americans are sick and tired of marijuana prohibition.
In D.C. specifically, I'm glad you brought that up. What are the dynamics at work in terms of whether or not that process is going to move ahead? What might that look like? And do you have a prediction about whether this particular piece of legislation will become law?
Yeah, not only is this particular piece of legislation going to become law, but I think it'll be improved over the weeks and months ahead. We heard at the hearing, you know, one of the reasons why this bill has been introduced and why there's been so much momentum for decriminalizing marijuana in D.C. is a report published by the ACLU, which showed that black and brown citizens in D.C. are about 9 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana possession than their white counterparts, even though whites and blacks use marijuana at about the same rate. So, you know, that's been the impetus for introduction of the legislation, which was accompanied with a $100 fine for possession. No criminal penalties, but still a $100 fine. And a lot of the witnesses who testified said, you know, look, the problem that we have now is that this is disproportionately enforced against, you know, poor minorities across the river in Anacostia in D.C. And so one of the proposals that was put forward, which was embraced by virtually everyone there at the hearing, was to reduce that fine to about $25. So I do expect it to pass. I expect an improved version of it to pass. When you look at who's co-sponsoring that on the council, we've got about 3/4 of the council or more. There's really not a whole lot of opposition there. So mayor's already endorsed it. I fully expect it to go forward to pass, and I don't expect Congress to do anything to stop it.
Dan Riffle is Director of Federal Policies at the Marijuana Policy Project. You can read more on the war on drugs and its many failures at our website, cato.org.